All right, Bible says, seven verses about overseers and deacons, 1 Timothy 3. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. Say that word, reproach.
Reproach.
We're going to talk about reproach today. The husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Lord, I thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you indeed give us wisdom that we can apply to our daily lives. I thank you that this morning, as we open your word, that we can go to work, Lord, that we can begin to sweat on our Bibles, that we can put forth effort, and we can see results that are tangible in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
I did some work this week. I do work every week, but this week I have had a problem with my Explorer. I had been doing some work. I took it, I blew up the car I was driving, took Joe's back, and been doing some work on it. But I noticed that when I would hit about 60, 65 miles an hour, there would be a vibration. There was like a whole lot of shaking going on. It was more than just a vibration. And I got tired of it, you know, because it's like, oh, man, I'd be soda shaking. And so I'm thinking, what is this? It's in the back. Rear shocks, you know, and so I $50, maybe $60, I can't remember. I went and got the shocks, and then I'm looking for this couple of hours that I can carve out of my week so I can put my shocks on. And as the week went on further, it's like the vibration started getting worse and worse, and I'm like, oh, I'm dying. I got to get these things shifted. And so Thursday afternoon, I said, finally, man, I'm just going to break down. I'm going to do these rear shocks. And I put those shocks on. It is like night and day. Just cruising down the road, and it's just smooth. I mention that to you because oftentimes we've got shaking that's going on in our lives. Sometimes a whole lot of shaking going on. God gives us directions so that we can deal with those shakes. God gives us the changes that are necessary for us to be able to move into success rather than deal in frustration in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have a little shaking going on this week? Little challenges, little tension? Oh, yeah. There are, and Mike's going, oh, dude, I had so much tension in my life. Great picture of life. We come to this text, and it talks about deacons, and it talks about overseers. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't really want to be a deacon, and I really don't want to be an overseer. I don't want to have any authority. But it talks about picking people. What is that? Wow. You know, when we came here, like, how long? 17 years ago, they had all these old school fans from like the 40s around here. They were bigger than that. I should have kept them. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. So he says, you're going to put somebody in charge in the church. Pick somebody that is above reproach. Okay? I got a word here. I want to read it because I want to make sure I get it right. that is irreprehensible. A person who is not deplorable, disgraceful, discreditable, despicable, blameworthy, culpable, wrong, bad, shameful, dishonorable, objectionable. I don't even know what that word is. Repugnant, inexcusable, unforgivable, indefensible, and unjustifiable. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that's going, that's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for reproach. I'm shooting for culpability. I'm shooting for badness in my life. And so, as I come across this text, and we're in this series on working the Word and how to put the Word to life in your life, that if we could find ways in the text to remove that stain from our lives, I think we would be better for it. Amen? If we could find a way to remove a little of that shake out of our lives, that we would indeed be better for it. And because I want overflow to be able to see me, I'm just going to go ahead and slide this open. Just a touch. I don't think anybody's shooting for this list. In fact, I'm going to make an assumption, and I'm hoping that you believe that this is a list that you might stay away from. And it's definitely not a list that you want to shoot for, and it's definitely not a list that you want to advertise. And I see these people, and I see a lot of young women wearing shirts that are like this. And I make offers. You got a shirt like that? I'll buy it from you. I'll give you one that says good girl on it. I'll give you one that says something else. See, we need help. Our culture espouses this message. And Ezekiel says, and I read this last week, Ezekiel 44:23, my priests are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. That's common. We got to move away from that. Can I get a witness on that? What we got to get away from is deplorable, disgraceful, decredible, despicable, blameworthy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Amen? So, we are not going to be doing that. We are going to learn the difference between the common and the holy. And then, as you find yourself in common, if you're going to work the Word, you're going to move away from the common. And you're saying, well, I really don't know where I'm common. Well, where are you shaking? Because every time I hit about 63 miles an hour, my Explorer would start shaking. And there is stuff that you do every week. And every time you do it, your life gets a little bit shaky. Can I get a witness on that? And so what the Lord does in the text, in the Word, as we target the answers to our shakiness in our lives, we move from the common to the holy. And things get better. Amen? But today we're going to talk about targets in the text. Because you might find today just an irritation. Man, I got nothing. See, when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your soul and begins to put a desire to get rid of that and that there. And you sit here today, and you're going, what a pain you are. Why are you bringing this up? Why don't you show me how to balance my checkbook? Why don't you show me something that is useful? Well, you might have a bigger problem. You might not have the Holy Spirit residing in you. You might not have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And if you do, this is going to be a shaky hour for you. Well, say 40 minutes for you. And the only thing that is here is what a pain. Well, realistically, the Lord and me and Ezekiel, we're all trying to save you from pain, the pain of eternal punishment. Your whole life is shaky, and you need big answers. I hope you get some today. We seek the targets in the text. Amen? All right. God's direction is a daily thing. See, if you're thinking, oh man, it's been a whole month, man, I haven't found any application for the word in my life. Well, you're missing it because it is a daily thing. Verse 2, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. We are talking about a man who stays close to home. We are talking about, I know we got some young people here, sexual immorality. Yeah, I know. There are parts of the Bible that are R-rated. Now, you're saying, hey, if I'm not shooting for a deacon, if you have, who's got expanded notes? Anybody in the front row? Second row? Tommy's got expanded notes. If you take a look at the expanded notes, there is text all through this that I tie to. The requirements for a deacon and an overseer just have a nice little list, but it's totally applicable to everybody who is a believer of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. You know what flee means? It's not a bug. It means run very fast. Okay? Run away. Sexual immorality, all other sins, all. Get that? A man commits are outside his body. He who sins sexually sins against his own body. It's common. Don't be common, be more than common. Matthew 5:28, I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, the Lord would deal with what you do with your body and what you do with your mind and give you solutions to that shakiness that goes on every day. Because there's a whole lot of people struggling with sexual immorality. And what was that movie with Michael Douglas where he had the affair with the woman and then she just came after him? Fatal Attraction. Man, there's a whole lot of purity going on after that. You know, the Lord had purity going on every day. Run from this stuff. Flee from this stuff. And you know what? This is not just to men. It is to women. I heard a report. It was on Focus on the Family. A guy was talking that there are just as many women that are involved in sexual immorality as there are men. Not like in the olden day. And it has to do with, it's a different type. But it is this, anonymous online interactions. And it has become, with the internet and with all this stuff, is become very alluring to these women. And women, I got some other stuff for you today. All right, this is also in 1 Timothy. And this might be a daily occurrence for you. I want women to dress modestly. Let me try that again. I want women to dress modestly. Oh, that's better. I like that. Let me try it one more time. I want women to dress modestly. Amen. There we go. With decency and propriety. There is a big difference between holy and common. And ladies, you have daughters. Men, you have daughters. We're going to talk about raising your children in holiness. Set some standards. Set a standard for yourself. And move into holiness and away from being common. Amen. And I'll just let you know, because we got some young people here. If you need to dress to tantalize so that you can get attention, the attention that you get is not going to be attention that is going to serve you in life. Right. And we have so many examples of that. So let's move from the common to holy. I'm going to just move right on. All right, here we go. The wise man is under control. You can put women in there as well. Verses 2 and 3. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, and not given to drunkenness. The Greek here just has these words lined up. Sober, sane, and systematic. Not a drunkard. Come back, holy or common. Getting loaded, very common. We got legalized marijuana, decriminalized marijuana. We got alcohol on every street corner. We got rehabs on every street corner. Why? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Not a lot of answers happening. Not a people moving out of their addiction. Addiction by its very name means out of control. You are being controlled by something else. You have a huge problem. You're shaky. Bible speaks to that elsewhere again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Don't get drunk on wine. It leads to debauchery. Debauchery is not a word you probably even used this week. Debauchery means an absence of restraint. Men make incredibly poor decisions when they're drunk. Debaucherous. They show no restraint. Women, when intoxicated, make poor choices. An absence of restraint. You want to make better choices? Who here has made incredibly poor choices while intoxicated? I mean, incredible. I got two DUIs when I was 18. Two in 6 months. Incredibly. While I was intoxicated, stole a truck, wrecked it on top of the railroad tracks. The paramedics pulled me out a minute, literally 60 seconds before the train demolished the truck. Went to jail, got released on OR, lost my shoes, was walking home, my face covered in blood, didn't even know it, scabbed over. And this guy I knew picked me up, gave me a ride. He said, "Hey, don't tell anybody about this." And you know, like on the, you know, back in the day, you know, AM radio, they have that little 15 minutes. That was me. Robert Keith Metz, almost killed last night, arrested for DUI, auto theft, and all this stuff. You know what they call it? You know what that is? That's debauchery. An absence of restraint. Now, maybe you can't stay sober. You got a bigger problem than you realize. You only feel normal when you're loaded. I used to be like that. You got to get loaded to feel normal. Your whole life is shaken. You got a bigger problem than you realize. You don't have any self-control. You're out of control. You can get some day by day. Self-control. When I was changing those shocks, there was four bolts that held the top, two on the bottom, three came out pretty easy. There was one that was sitting on top of this carbon canister that filtered something from the smog system, but it just served so to barely be able to get to the top nut on the one side. And so I could only turn it a quarter of a turn a time. And in fact, I was doing it like this, the back of my fingernails, flicking it. I'm reaching over all this. I'm laying on my back and the oil, just flick, flick. And even right now, my hand beginning to cramp up. And I had to do about 20 revolutions on that bolt, because it was fairly long up there. And it would have been so easy to stop. But if you stop, if I would have stopped, I would have still had the old shocks on. Still would have had the shaking going on at 62 and a half miles an hour. And so he talks about self-control, talks adding that patience, talks about self-control. There is that element where I just had to stop and just kind of flex my hand and work out that the cramp, go about three more times, and sometimes I have to pull my arm out. Lay there and go back to it. That's self-control. Self-control gets the reward at the end. Talk about addiction, alcohol addiction. Maybe you're here today and you have one day sober. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Make a start. 1,000 days is about 3 years. And what happens as you begin to have that self-control, as you begin to move into a life of sobriety, you begin to gain respect. You begin to live above reproach. You still keep shooting. It's like, oh man, you got to learn, you got to work, because all it takes is one failure. You have 1,000 days straight, one day of failure can completely destroy your respect, can take you from being above reproach to being reprehensible. One day of debauchery. 10,000 days sober. 27 years. Did some loose math. I think that's what I got. You begin to move from being, oh yeah, you're the guy that was on the radio that day. The drunken auto thief that can't even get away from the scene of the crime. Nobody remembers that. 10,000 days. It's a lot. But life is better on the way, and there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Last week, we got out at 11. Everything was short. Today, we're not getting out at 11. Just want to let you know. God's direction is for challenging times. Continue on with his list. There are situations that need to be addressed. It says back here, kind of continue on with the list. The husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. The Greek there is not a striker. Bam. Not a striker. Men who hit women. No one does it once. It becomes a pattern of life. Shakiness happens all around that. Paul says, don't grab a guy who's a striker and make him an elder of the church. When I was dating Lisa, fairly early on, and I'm a good guy, radically safe, she said, you will hit me one time. And no one's ever said that to me before. I'm like, what? Do I look like a woman beater? And she just said, I don't know. You hit me one time, I'll be gone. You won't get a second chance. You know what, women? Be wise. Also, you want to be wise? You're going to get involved with a guy? Get involved with a guy with a job. Can I get a witness? Come on, Carlos, how many jobs you got? Juan, you got all kinds of sides. You know what? Juan Carlos is a worker, right? There are some guys who work at staying out of work. Women, you find one of them, he hits you, you don't got a job, run away. This is my wife. She says, be smart. You not liking that, Lisa? Joe works, right? Joe, my son, right? He's a worker. Yeah. What? Oh, that's it. I didn't realize that. I thought he just wanted money. Okay. Talk about anger. Everybody's got anger. You have to learn how to process it. Okay? Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. That is Paul quoting Psalms 4:4. Celebrate recovering. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You can come and you can learn skills on how to deal with your emotions, process them, and be healthy. Everybody's got shaken going on. But not everybody is learning how to deal with the shakes. Not everybody knows. How many people know how to put on rear shocks? Come on. How about front shocks? Any shocks? Three, that's it? Really? Really? Juan Carlos, you can put on shocks. There we go. Okay, four. There's other people. dealing with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, addiction, forgiveness issues in your life, all that kind of stuff. Those are skills that you're going to need a whole lot more than being able to change a shock. Amen, Mr. Roki? Amen. Amen. You can learn that stuff. Then he moves to a thing. You know, these are both kind of things that can be undercover. Man beating his wife, oftentimes it stays in the home. This next one, greed. I don't even need to stay undercover. In our culture, man, people who go after money, yeah, go for it. But Jesus talks about it. Paul writes in this same book, 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Don't grab onto somebody that's all focused on the cash, all focused on stuff, covetousness. This love of money will give a foothold to the devil. He'll grab onto you and he'll just start shaking. A lot of shaking going on. God will give you answers for your shaking. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. Directions for the home. Here we go. He must manage his own family well. Now, I don't know that there's anybody saying, no, really, I want an unmanaged home. I want an unmanaged family. I want a family that's just out of control. Anybody looking for that? All right. There's other verses to this. We're talking about husbands first. Husbands, Ephesians 5:33. Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, as he loves his own body, that God's plan for you ladies and for you men would be that you men would sacrifice yourself for the good of your family, that you would put the needs of your wife ahead of the needs of yourself. And all the ladies said?
Amen.
All the ladies said?
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good target. There is a word for the women as well. They are supposed to let it happen. Says, skipping down, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because as he dies to himself, even if he messes up, let him go. So often the ladies go, I'll let you go, but make sure it's this way. And after a while, I just go, I ain't going nowhere. Just go ahead. You go ahead. You take the lead. Turn off the mic. So, there are challenges in our lives. There is shaking that's going on. Men, get in front. Women, let them go. And it will be better for you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard. You're going to work the word. It's going to make you sweat. You should have sweat rings on your word as you are working it. Amen? You got shaking going on? Get to work. Some of you are single. I don't got a husband. I don't got a wife. He says, look, I want your home to be a display of my glory. So make sure you have that display in your home. As men go ahead and give glory to God, and the women in the home say, God, glorify my husband and let him go. There's this statement that happens. Make sure that statement comes out from your home if you are a single person. Set some godly standards for yourself. I talked to you about buying that bad girl shirt. I will buy your hoochie mama clothing. I might not buy it for very much, but I'll kid you not. You bring me your hoochie mama clothing, I will take you to a thrift store and I will buy you replacements. I'm serious. In a week, in a month, God speaks to your heart, come and see me. I know some good thrift stores, man. All right, here we go. We're moving on. Single, perhaps you're... Now, perhaps there is no glory in your home. Perhaps your spouse does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the display of His glory is replaced with an emergency, with a crisis. Your thought is now no longer, how can I display the glory of God in my house? Your thought now is, how do I keep my spouse from going to hell? Now, if you are not married, do not marry somebody who is not saved. Run away. Don't date them thinking, oh, I'm going to get them saved. It's not the way the Lord rolls. Find a saved one who's going to do what? Die to himself for you. You can't get any better than that deal. And what do you got? You got the Holy Spirit inside that guy going, you're not doing your job. And there's shaking going on. Let him shake. Let him shake. Pray for him to shake. Pray they'll grab onto that word. Start working it. Start sweating. Work out a lot better. See, we got to have standards. JJ played a football game yesterday. Not much of a game. Competition, not really much competition. I don't even know what score. I think it was like 21-7 or something. But after the game, I asked the coach to speak with him. And I said, Coach, you got a minute? I said, I'm JJ's pastor. He lives with me. He's got two C's this week. He actually brought one of them up to a B, but he's not going to be able to play. Teacher said that if he works hard, he'd be able to bring that grade up. And he's not going to be able to play. What I'm wondering is, if we pull him off the team, will you allow him to come back on the team when his grade comes up? And he said, first off, he said, we got no problem with C's. Our boundary is D's and F's. Get a D or you get an F, you can't play. But C's, we're fine with C's. Half the team's got C's. So if you want to pull them out, that's on you. And I said, yeah, that's on me. And that's the thing. It needs to be on you. You need to take that responsibility. You need to have some boundaries. And then he said, I said, we pull him out, will you let him back on the team? He says, yeah. In fact, he's only a freshman. He says he's got one of the best attitudes on the team. So we'd love to have him back. And so he goes, does that mean practice too? I said, yeah, that means practice too. And so when the shaking starts, deal with it. It'll be better for you down the road. Amen? All right, and we're even going to jump further onto that. It says, and see that his children obey him with proper respect. And your children are a display of your choices. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. And the word here for train means point or guide. And right now, parenting requires effort. Anybody want to give me a witness on that? It is an effort that has its own reward. It's an incredible blessing when my son calls me and the topic is how he went spearfishing. And that how he got hit by a wave and lost his goggle and all that kind of stuff. See, my calls to my mom is that I'm in jail. You know, I need bail. You know, I need an attorney. It is so cool to just have to buy a stinking mask. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that? Come on now, that's a good call. Your children are your responsibility. They are not the school's responsibility. They're not the daycare's responsibility. And they are not grandma's responsibility. They are your responsibility. The Lord has seen fit to give them to you. Raise them. They are a display of the choices that you make. And some of us have made some pretty poor choices. Real problem, you get saved and your kid's 19. That kid is a display of 19 years of your poor choices. Teach your kids respect. You want to teach your kids respect? There's really only one way. You have to model respect. To model respect, you have got to give it. Oftentimes, to elevate ourselves, we show disrespect to the people around us. Because I feel low, I feel bad. I'm going to say how lame Pastor Scott is. I'm going to say how lame he is in his home, and all of a sudden I feel so good. And in the hood, and I think Pastor Scott is a fine father. In the hood, we can feel so pressed down, and we have this need to make ourselves feel good. And so we show disrespect to authorities around us, teachers and this and that, and you teach your children disrespect, and I want to let you know it is just a matter of time until that disrespect comes right back pointed at you. Because you have taught your children disrespect, and you will become the focus of that one day. Last thing we got. Come on. Your children are on display. Your reputation is on display. You must also have a good reputation with outsiders, that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Talk about reputation. It's easy to see reputation with social media. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Pinterest, is that how you say that? Pinterest. I've seen YouTube, okay? I've seen YouTube. I know what YouTube is. The other stuff is a little fuzzy to me. Sometimes, oftentimes, social media is a display of reproach. Apply for a job. They look at your social media. Whoa! No! Easy no on this one. Before, back in the day, it was easier to conceal your stuff. You could have your church persona, and you could have your hood persona. But I remember talking to Sally years back, and I was saying, I'm hearing this. And she goes, I don't know. She goes, but I can check the street for you. He said exactly those words, because the street always knows. Your reputation is on display. And as your children are a display of your choices, your reputation is a display of your choices, because people are paying attention. When you got 10,000 days straight, and you have a record of making better choices, and you start moving above reproach, people will notice. They still might not like you very much, but they're not going to call you a thief, and they're not going to call you a drunkard anymore. Because we all got more growing to do. Amen? You start hanging with the world too much. You start looking deplorable, disgraceful, decredible, despicable, blameworthy, culpable, and all those other things. Hard to have a perfect life. Try. Put in an effort. Put some distance between you and what is common. Ephesians 5:12. It is shameful even to mention. Not talking about doing, participating in. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. It is this consuming sin that has this way of growing and developing in you, and pretty soon you're moving around, you just do a little bit, just get a little bit sloppy, a little bit of shaking, a little bit of shaking, all of a sudden everything is shaking. And you have moved from shakiness into deplorability. You have dived, dove? jumped right into reproach. And you know what? That's right where the devil wants you. Out of control, shaking, grabbing on to anything. Do not give the devil a foothold. He's looking to destroy you, destroy your kids, and everything and everyone that's important to you. Get out of the trap. Stay out of the trap. Target's in the text. Got some shaking going on. God's got answers. God will get you out. God will set you free. Target's in the text. At least you can come up. Are you hitting them? Did you even know you needed to shoot at something? Because some of you here today are going, whoa, man. Last week was short. I wish I was here last week. Man, I feel like I'm getting clubbed by the word. Okay, I've been there. What are you going to do? You can say, I'm done here. Find me a new church. A church of shaky. Everybody's shaking and nobody's got a problem. A lot of them out there. You got to fix what you got. You can stay just the way you are. I'm so glad I got 10,000 days. Yeah. I hope you got 1,000. I hope you got 10. But what I hope is tomorrow it's 10,001, 1,001, or 11. Because just so long as you're moving out of shakiness and into answers, just so long as you're starting to try to hit targets, just so long as you're grabbing from the truths of the Word of God and starting working them in your lives, you're going to be fine. Might not be pleasant. Oftentimes, I'm not that pleasant. I got some edges to work on in my life. I'll tell you, you're going to get beautiful like me. There's got to be a whole lot of ugly coming out. Ugly, 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 ugly. And the worst thing you can do is go, man, I got so much ugly coming out, I'm just going to keep it in and put some makeup on. No, 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 no. Let the ugly go. Life get better. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome, Lord, that you give us answers in your word, that we can work your word, that you don't leave us as a 16-year-old drunken thief in jail with no shoes on, blood all over his face. Devil telling everybody in town what a loser you are. Lord, that you work with losers. Lift them up. Give them the ability to work the word. Put some days together. Put a string together. Learn self-control. I got to think this morning some of you are having your bell rung by the Holy Ghost. Ding, 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 ding. You got some shaking going on. Just trying to live with it. Trying to just maybe cover it. Time to make a change. You might be here today and you are so irritated by everything that I've said. And right now, the Holy Spirit says, you're irritated because you're going to hell. You are so lost. You are in reproach. You are reprehensible. You are lost. And right now, he's saying, I will save you by the blood of Christ shed on the cross. I will set you free, and I will put you into a life of sweat, working the word, that you might be transformed and put day after day after day together and build a life of respect. Nobody looking around, but the Lord right now is ringing your bell saying you are lost, but you can be found with nobody looking around You want to say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't want to be lost anymore, Lord. I want to be found. Come, Lord, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me. Set me free, Lord. Lord, I want to start to sweat. Lord, give me a chance. I get a sweatsuit on. I'll get a towel. I'll get some workout weights. I'll do it. Lord, I want to work your word. I want to find truth in life. I want to be set free from the shaking that's going on. That's you. The Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning. You're saying, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. Right here. There. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Lord could be speaking to you about something else. She's just waving. I know. She's just little. Praise the Lord over here. Yeah. Wednesday night. Lord was speaking right to my heart, and I was going, no, no, no. Preacher said, I'm going to pause one more moment. Then I jumped to my feet. I said, yeah, that's me, Lord. I want to be set free. One last moment. You didn't put your hand up before. Lord's speaking right to your heart. Says, I'll set you free, but you gotta let me know. You got to say yes. Raise your hand up. You didn't put it up before. Right here? Here? Anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're here this morning. You are